rewrite of the insurance code because you can't tell which sentence you're looking at. So it would be very hard for us to pick out a section of the insurance code and ask that it apply, even if we wanted to. As Eric knows, he's gone through it, it's not in good shape enough for us to do that.
Well.
That's really where I want to make a clear record, and I'm not sure we're in major disagreement.
No, I don't think we are either, because I think the majority of the minority report sufficiently improves the issue to deal with, and I don't want to get hung up over that one.
Are we together on that then?
So.
Okay, I think the committee's together on that, you can make a note.
There's one other issue in the 324 engrossed, way down at the bottom of 40B, the last two lines, 26 and 7, which allows the state income tax deduction for contributions.
Yes, it's omitted from the end.
And Jim Swisinger from the Revenue Committee pointed out that that may create a double deduction because a contribution would be deductible under federal law, and state tax law is dependent on the federal, and by identifying it as a state tax, it may create a double deduction.
Is that why you took it out then, in the House?
I don't think it was ever in. I think this was a minority report.
Oh, I see. This is a minority report.
There are four versions of a PLF, or three versions we're dealing with here. One is the one that was in 323, both versions. One was in 324 majority report. One was in the 324 minority report, which is what's on page 40B.
Yeah, I think we ought not to fuss around with tax deductions in this field.
Well, I guess my question is, and perhaps you know, is this different than what current state law is right now?
For PLFs?
On PLFs.
Well, all the lawyers I know deduct their payments to the PLF as a business expense now and have never been challenged. And I can't imagine that if a PLF was established under this structure that anybody would be challenged for their payment into that PLF.
So we could leave it the way it is in the D version and that would be consistent the way it's happening right now?
Yes.
We would strike sub 5 then?
Strike
section 4?
Yes.
Okay. Of the 324 minority report.
Of the minority report, the section 5.
You'd strike it or leave it?
You'd leave it if I understood.
That's what I thought.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, you'd strike it.
Now, why would you strike it then? I thought you told me that that's the way that they do it right now.
I think we're
it is the way they do it now without this language anywhere in statute. I mean, this language is not now in statute.
But that's how they do it.
That's right, but
then
the technical...
Why shouldn't you have it in statute?
Because the technical concern... Well, go ahead, Catherine.
Jim's explanation was because it's already deductible as a federal expense and because state income taxes are dependent on your federal income taxes, to identify a further deduction for it in state law possibly would create a second deduction specifically from your Oregon state tax return.
I'd like to have Jim up here on this point if we could. If that way he's in the building, maybe we can give him a jingle and get him up here.
Okay, we could do that.
If that's his explanation, I'd.
Well, you're satisfied to do it the way that it's being done now with a bar PLF, right?
That's correct.
Whatever it takes to do that. Is that all right with you, John?
Yeah. Right.
Everybody?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to create a situation where we have to send this bill.
You got it.
Same time with this.
Well, all right. Well, that is just a matter then of whether this section stays in or comes out. We can answer that question later. I would, on page, are we all through the council with any other questions that you need answered?
If we run into other things, we'll bring them back to you. I think that we can do most, if not all, the work from what we have now.
Okay. On page, so let's go to page 41.
One other thing. I take it from the sort of leaning toward the 324 version that you want the separate boards appointed by the governor to run these funds rather than the licensing boards.
Okay.
That's right. Anything else on that, Council?
I guess the only other question is whether you want to call them commissions or boards. They're called commissions in here. And
I think commissions would clarify that it's not, for instance, the Board of Medical Examiners.
Okay.
If
all right.
That's okay.
that'll do it for now.
And...
The other, Mr. Chair, if we're finished with the PLF, the other two questions, professional associations and conditions of insurance, I'm not prepared this morning to deal with that. I'd like to visit that issue when we come back to joint and several and some of the other issues, if that's okay with you.
Okay. Now, before we, we'll do that. Counsel, did you have something before we got too far?
When you asked us to take a look at 324 to see how it differed, the childcare center portion of it, I talked with the insurance division to see if what is in 323 would allow daycares to come in and form fictitious groups or whatever the equivalent was, and the answer was yes, because the type of insurance we're talking about is property casualty, which this exemption applies to. The difference between the two bills is there is some additional criteria, and it's on page 35, the lines 29 through 34, which would require anybody that got together to group purchase, for example, if we added daycare, it didn't deal with the other 324 on daycare, it would require active participation, risk management plan, that the benefit, the policy passes the benefits of reduced loss on to the plan participants, et cetera.
Well, just so you know, when we checked this out, we called the insurance commissioner up to see if we should add it in there versus 323, and we were told we needed to add it in if we wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Now you're telling us that they tell you something 180 degrees different. And I'm not questioning you, but it's just amazing we got these...
You know, for my area, which contains the University of Oregon, I really want to be absolutely sure that daycares can fictitiously group, because there's a severe problem with daycare centers getting insurance.
Another question we better ask the bureaucrats, then.
Well, I guess right now I'd opt for leaving it in the bill. If it were redundant, that doesn't cause as much problem as if it were left out and there were...
Okay.
And there were a problem created at a later date.
Well, that's all right. I can do that. A little redundancy never hurt too much.
All right.
Let's do that, then.
I guess the question is, if you include them, do you want the current paragraph F at lines 28 through 36 to apply to daycare centers specifically? I mean, in addition to saying that daycare centers explicitly come under here, do you want some kind of a reference up to F so that any policies require active participation and they get the benefits of reduced losses and so on? Or do you just want them named?
I think just naming.
Okay.
It's actually Representative Phillips was the original sponsor.
All right.
Got that settled?
Yeah.
Now, one more time on... I guess we're over here at page 40, 50.
Cut down a lot of trees.
What are you looking for?
I was looking for DUII insurance page.
On page 41.
I think we came to a tentative agreement yesterday. We both expressed our own views. I think the consensus of the committee was to go along with the higher limits. I want the record to note that I don't go along with that myself, but...
I don't either, but I would, in the spirit of...
All right. John?
You're talking about maybe we should rethink this and not have it in the bill? I have two. Sarah Cole and I were discussing that, and I discussed it with some others, and I think maybe we'd find some real problems with it.
I'd be delighted if we could not address it, but...
Well, I think apparently the Senate members are of one mind on that. You two gentlemen, I've forgotten whether you were both together and whether you were strong on it or what. Policy question of...
I give my speech twice.
I
if we're not going to do anything about more effective enforcement against uninsured drivers, and that's about 9% of the population.
So make it 20%.
I don't know if I'd agree with that, but.
Well, you're in favor of the increased requirements, aren't you? That's true with all three House members?
If you get popped for a DUI, your rates are going to go up through the ceiling, right? They're just going to go up $1,200, $1,500. You're going to get canceled, go to assigned risk. So the big sting is just getting the conviction. This, as I understand it, would, above that, increase the rates 20% to 22%.
Yes.
It's 10 o'clock. Are we to go down to start a floor session?
So you're understanding we have a floor session at 10 or is it 10:30?
Well, I thought it was 10.
10 o'clock, everybody says.
Well, maybe we could leave that over until.
Yeah. We got Jim here right now. Maybe he could answer that question on the liability fund quickly, if that would be okay.
Okay, let's do that. Come on up, then we.
Jim, did you hear the news that the bill's going to revenue after this? Just when you thought it was safe.
Been everywhere else, right?
Yes.
Jim Scherzinger, Legislative Revenue Office. Catherine asked me to talk about, said you were interested in the section or subsection that talks about any amount assessed by the fund as a contribution from a person covered by the fund shall be allowed as a deduction on the person's income for purposes of income tax charged by the state. I think that was in 324, and I had legislative counsel look at that and prepare amendments if you wanted a subsection like that in there that guaranteed it was a deduction that would make it clear that it was not an additional deduction beyond what you normally would get. Normally, that is a cost of doing business in any case, I would think. And so it would normally, on your federal return, when you filed your business return, you would claim that as a deduction, and that would pass through onto your Oregon return. And so I think we, you know, talking to counsel, we agreed you probably didn't even need it at all, that it normally would be a deduction. But if you wanted some language that made sure that it was a deduction, then you could put something like, unless the taxpayers claimed a deduction for the amount assessed on the taxpayer's federal tax return for the tax year, then any amount assessed by the fund as a contribution from a person covered by the fund shall be allowed as a deduction from the person's income for purposes of state taxes imposed upon or measured by income.
Yes, Paul, go ahead.
Jim, we're dealing with the tort bill here. Let's keep it somewhat focused on this. What we want to do is have the process run like it's run right now. Now, if we include sub 5, do we change current practice?
It's not clear what it does.
Do you have amendments that would?
I have amendments that would make it clear what it does.
Okay. To keep it the way it is.
Yeah, I would say that either to take it out would not change current practice, or to put these amendments would not change current practice. But what is there is just isn't clear.
Why don't we take it out then? I'd opt for taking it out instead of adding a bunch more words in there. The intent is clear in the record as to what I mean. Paul, would you be satisfied with taking it out then?
Unless somebody can think of a situation where that's not a cost of doing business.
Well, you wouldn't be involved in a professional liability fund, at least in my mind, unless you were actively engaged in business right now and you needed some kind of liability insurance. Isn't that
true? That's quite
right.
Clear,
right. Isn't that accurate?
That's
so
true.
Therefore, if you're telling me they can subtract it as a cost of doing business and they're not going to get dinged, then
just as if it were their normal insurance policy that they were.
Let's not compound it.
Okay.
Let's just pull the section
out. All right,
that's
fine. That's what we'll do then. Everybody agreed on that? Fine.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate that.
Well, are we at a point now? We've been working here almost 2 hours, and we can tell you what. I've got a conference committee at 10:45. Who else has got anything on this morning? What do you have?
I'm with you at 10:45.
You're with me, yeah. Paul and I have a conference. Anybody else got any conflicts this morning?
Floor session.
Floor session.
Do you want to take recess now, or do you want to continue until somebody hauls us out of this room and makes us go to the floor?
I'd like to recess.
I think we need, Senator, if you would, take a motion to recess until after lunch, where we have a chance to reflect upon some of the actions taken.
All right, until after lunch. All right, fine. I'll tell you what, can we...
Time certain, please.
Pardon?
We have Judiciary Committee at 1 o'clock. Isn't that the time?
That's the tentative time, anyway. I might have to change that. How about 12:30? 12:30, all right, to resume?
I don't think we'll finish our floor session until 12:30.
Till when?
Our floor session may not finish until 12:30.
Oh, well, let's make it...
I don't want to get too late, Mr. Chairman, because then we're going to get dragging on until 10 o'clock tonight again, and I...
I'll tell you what, let's make it, I think we can get through with Judiciary in an hour. Why don't we make this committee at 2 o'clock? Is that all right?
Okay.
2 o'clock. We're in recess until 2 o'clock.
Senator Hamby's vote, or Senator Hamby's
issue.
Well,
is there any clarification on that, or?
Well,
I guess all of us have some recollection. My recollection is that this, what you see there, was in the bill that went to the Senate floor, and the question was raised by Senator Wires that we really didn't vote on that, and so then I guess that. I'm not sure whether that was ever proved one way or the other convincingly, but everybody assumed that he was correct, or at least we took it that way, and the bill came back and we took that out. Is that your recollection, Senator Cohen? On, that was in originally, and when we recall it, we took it out?
Yeah.
Because apparently we didn't, the record didn't show at least that we voted on it. That's my recollection.
You mean on that?
Is there any other comment on that question that Dick just raised? Is that a sufficient answer, or do you have something further on that point?
No, that's helpful. I do remember that was the subject of a fair amount of discussion, I think, on the floor. The Pinto case was cited, you know, as to whether or not it's a matter of public policy. But, no, I don't have any further questions.
Okay. All right. Objection?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, call the roll on that.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Councilman.
We were asked to provide...
Well, wait a minute, you don't have to call a roll, what am I saying? No, go ahead.
We were asked to provide an exception for this involving hazardous wastes and pollution and things like that, and that's been drafted.
Oh, yes.
If you want to look at that now. It's the identical language to what Senator Frye gave you with this pollution stuff in.
Well, that's right, that should be a part of this, shouldn't it?
Well, that's up to you, all I want you to know is that it's available.
You would accept that, I assume, a friendly amendment to your motion, picking up on...
Now, I want to tell you that what's in it is the products liability exception that appeared on the sheet that Senator Frye handed out, and the hazardous waste and pollution stuff that was talked about earlier, so that's in there for your choice, and you can adopt.
If we don't get to that, it will fit over in whatever portion we choose, right?
Yes.
That language, I assume, is transferable to, back to the de-engrossed or the...
That's correct, Senator.
De-engrossed or whatever we end up with.
Well, actually, yeah, why don't we just hand out the dash 146 here?
The other thing is...
Will that change, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, because that would be the complete, let's pass this out. So, on line 13 of the dash 146, I would change 20 to 10. And then my motion is the adoption of the dash 146 amendments in lieu of section 7 of the de-engrossed bill. And any question about...
Fix this up, didn't they? We'll get some of the ORSs in there.
Does that language, David, does that conform with your idea?
I think it does. They just cited all the definitions in those various chapters.
It's there to be complete. You don't have to accept the whole list if you don't want to, but it's there because that gives you the whole list of options.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Whose amendments are these again?
I'm sorry. Well, they're mine. I suppose you could say they're mine.
Okay, but how are the percentage down on line 13?
I changed that from 20 to 10.
To 10. May I ask a clarification here? I just want to make sure I'm picking up on this correctly. Are we distinguishing any longer between economic or non-economic losses?
No distinction.
Well, Senator Frye, this deviates considerably from the D version that was passed by the House, and in fact, from the C version that was passed by the Senate, I believe. And there's just simply no way in good faith I could take this back to my caucus and recommend that they look at it even, let alone vote for it.
Okay. I take it you object.
I'm getting warmed up to an objection, yes.
Senator Brennan objects.
Do you want me to elaborate?
No, I just want the record to note that.
Yeah, no, okay. Yeah, the record a little while ago, even in the other form here.
Is this a motion then, an adoption
yes.
on this?
That's right.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Now, let's turn to the products liability issue that we talked about. Have we got...
We have those amendments.
We've got those amendments now.
See, that's back on pages six and...
The product, punitive damages regarding products liability.
Pages four and five.
Pages four and five.
And they are the dash 144 amendments.
And these out.
Wait a minute, I better grab one.
You want those?
Catherine?
The which now?
Where'd this come from?
Oh, about to arrive.
I think this is...
65-1, right?
Yes. The dash 144 amendments are the dash 65 amendment that you saw earlier, plus the circled material on the page that accompanied it, so that we got proprietary drugs into the dash 144 amendments.
Is this, this incorporates an amendment that was earlier submitted by Senator Gardner, is that correct?
Yes.
Who happens to be in the audience and...
Was going to disavow.
I think it's fair to say this is Senator Gardner's amendment.
This is Senator Gardner's amendment, okay. So, on page three...
Okay, do you, I guess, I think we, I don't know where we are with this piece, but I...
Lines?
I'm willing to hear.
Four and five.
I don't know what your process is here.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I think this is really one of the things that are really important.
C and D were just, I think the same.
This is something I think was offered in lieu of section six of the Dean Gross Bill, which appears on page five, is that correct?
That's correct, yes. If I recall correctly, the background is that the...
I don't think we need any background, I'm just interested in the question of who's where and whether you want me to move 144, or whether we've already sort of agreed to it, or who's where, I mean, now, we don't, I think we pretty know exactly what...
I would move 323D-144 if you need that motion again, Senator. I don't know if you do.
And as a substitute for section six of Dean Gross on page five.
Right.
Okay, well, that's where we are then, let's...
I think that's just a, if I may, a ratification of an earlier action with this before us, and I assume that former Senator Gardner has had a chance to review this language, I hope, since we're... Okay, so, the record shows we've got a thumbs up, an affirmative nod.
Is there any objection to that?
Just from sensing the mood I'm about to get run over, I'm going to object and tell you that my preference is either C or D and Gross versions.
Okay.
For the sake of consistency, I objected when it was conceptually adopted and will object now.
Okay, the record will note that Senator Brenneman and Representative Phillips opposed that motion. Okay, there we go on that. And... Now, let's find out what we are looking at, there's another, the amendment on...
Collateral estoppel.
Collateral source.
It's on the collateral source. Collateral source is on page 11, I think.
There are two or three alternatives that have been suggested. I said that I would, I'm not enamored of getting involved in this business here, but if the committee feels we've got to have something on it, I am just suggesting that you take a look at the draft change. And I think Senator Cole made a remark this morning about, was it about this section, Senator? You talked to judges about...
Yeah, no, we talked about 11B with the addition of federal social security benefits on line B. don't know who, I guess, Rubes offered that.
I've prepared that, and those are the dash 145 amendments that will be coming to you.
I'm sorry.
I've given them.
Oh, you've given those.
Okay, so you'll be getting two additional sets of language on collateral source. One is the dash 139 from Senator Frye, and the other is the dash 145 from Senator Cohen. I think it's fair to say the differences are primarily differences of language, but the
excuse me.
As a potential user, the definition of what is or is not a collateral source in 145 is a little clearer.
What is a collateral source?
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I would move the dash 145.
Do we have the dash 145 amendments?
They should be being handed out.
Yeah.
Sorry, they got short-stopped.